All right, 10 seconds. And we will go live. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Adventure Books of Seattle podcast. Now, if you're surprised I'm back on the air, I don't blame you, because I haven't posted up a new podcast in actually a few years now. But I decided to come back on board because of the Orlando Massacre. And just in case you don't know who I am, my name is Robert Blevins. I'm the managing editor for Adventure Books of Seattle. And you can find us on the internet at www.adventurebooksofseattle.com. Now, what I did after I saw the tragic news is I wrote an article for my Newsvine column. I have a column there, a news column there. It's been going since March of 2007, and you can find that at adventurebooks.newsvine.com. That's adventurebooks.newsvine.com. The article is titled, ISIS or Not, The Orlando Massacre Was a Hate Crime. And yes, folks, I do believe it was a hate crime. I'm just going to tell you why. Just before Omar Mir Sadiq Mateen entered the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, he made a quick phone call to 911. He told whoever responded that he had sworn allegiance to ISIS and probably a few other choice bits that have not yet been made public. And in a recent report, it seems ISIS itself may be claiming Mateen as their own. This report was first aired around 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time today on MSNBC. In reality, this matters little now. If ISIS now identifies themselves with Mateen, or the other way around, it's nothing more than a pithy excuse for ISIS to take credit for the worst mass shooting in U.S. history. The reality is that this was a hate crime, pure and simple. The evidence toward that conclusion is much greater than any possible direct ties Mateen may have had with ISIS. His own parents saw the warning signs, i.e. the rage exhibited by the shooter when a month previously he had seen two men kissing in Miami, they said. To try and dress this tragedy in the clothing of a sanctioned terror attack by ISIS makes no sense. It's almost as if Mateen, in making the phone call at the last minute, was just trying to avoid his madness being called a hate crime. And this writer believes that is exactly what happened, that this was a hate crime and little else. Now, each time these tragedies happen, there is the usual short-term debate on guns. Each time these tragedies happen, these debates end up going nowhere. Sandy Hook, Columbine, the Colorado theater shootings, the list is numbing. People will cite the Second Amendment, which I do support, by the way, but I don't think the Founding Fathers had high-capacity, rapid-fire, semi-auto assault weapons in mind when they wrote that bit into the Constitution. How long before we put some sensible restrictions on a few limited items that would make it less likely a single person can mow down over 100 people in a few short minutes? The shooter used a Colt AR-15 assault rifle on his victims. Judging from the sounds of the shots being fired, which have been broadcast on television, you can tell he either had the 20-round or 30-round magazines loaded into that weapon, maybe even the 60 or 100-round magazines that you can buy from Surefire. Benjamin Franklin is probably rolling in his grave right now, shouting up to us that the blood of all of these victims, all the children at Sandy Hook, all the gay folk in Orlando, and the people simply trying to watch a movie in Colorado deserve better justice than just another dead shooter. Now, there are people who will say this to you. They want to take our guns. They want to repeal the Second Amendment. Neither of those things are true. First, you couldn't get rid of guns in America if you tried. No one really knows the exact number of privately held weapons in America, but it's been estimated at a low of 250 million all the way up to a billion. That does not count anything in sporting goods stores or owned by the military. America is actually jazzed with guns, and to many people, it's a lifestyle. Guns are ingrained into the history of America, and that's the way it's been for hundreds of years. What is needed are a few sensible controls on privately held weapons, training, background checks, and the elimination of sales of any assault weapons to private citizens who do not possess a valid federal firearms license. The rest of us should have to settle for weapons that were more the intention behind the Second Amendment. To put the situation in the cold, harsh light of reality, how about giving the victims a chance? This idea of being able to rattle off enough ammunition to hit 100 people in a short time just isn't fair. Mateen, armed with only one rifle and one pistol, was able to hit 1 out of 3 out of the over 300 people inside that club before they could escape. Now, you know, folks, the worst part is that Americans know in their hearts that this is not the end of it, not with our current policies regarding high-capacity assault weapons. These weapons have become the mass shooter's weapon of choice. They are not for hunting deer, nor for the protection of your home and property, but they are simply mechanical devices created to kill other human beings, and to do it quickly and efficiently. That's what they were designed for, not for shooting squirrels or anything intended to be protected under the Second Amendment. Orlando will not be the last stop for a mass shooting. It's just the most recent one. It's time to at least give the victims of these shootings a fair chance, which is something they certainly don't have now. Our nation has reached a crisis of conscience. The victim's blood cries out to us from the ground. Maybe it's time we listened. I want to thank you for listening. My name is Robert Blevins.